Well, God bless you. And this morning, I am excited to share with you, as far as I'm concerned, it's a lighthearted subject, but it's a very serious subject. And I want to talk to you about navigating conflict, negotiating those relationship obstacles that every human relationship at one time or another is going to encounter. Conflict is inevitable. You know, people often say that my marriage is made in heaven, or marriage, you know, and you could very well feel that way. But even marriages that are made in heaven have to be walked out on earth. And it is here where we find the obstacles and the conflict. And so we've got to learn how to do that. I mean, relationships are powerful. I often tell people that they're the most powerful things in the world. If they are healthy, they're stronger than titanium. And if they are unhealthy, then they are more destructive than dynamite. And I don't have to tell you that. If you've ever had any kind of relationship, it doesn't just apply to romantic relationships. It could be some platonic relationship, or brotherly relationship, sisterly relationship. But relationships are sometimes they're difficult, because human beings are complex, and God, our Creator, knows our complexity. He said that we were wonderfully and awesomely made. And sometimes I wonder if that's tongue in cheek, because sometimes, man, we're wonderfully, awesomely complex and even difficult. But this morning, I want to talk about the fact that in order for your relationships to be healthy, in order to biblically negotiate conflict, you can't keep score. So I think at the top of this hour, our host was saying that the title is Love Don't Keep Score. And I know grammatically it should be Love Doesn't Keep Score, but it just sounds like it has more oomph when you say Love Don't Keep Score. It's more emphatic, and I want to be emphatic this morning. We'd allow me to do that. And the scriptures that I want to refer to are found in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And they read this way. It's 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. And all things are of God. This is the King James Version. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I love this portion of scripture, because, you know, when you're trying to reconcile with someone over some conflict, or you're trying to negotiate some obstacle that may be an impediment to the health of your relationship, or to the progression of your relationships, so that your relationships can grow deeper and broader in a healthy manner. Sometimes you have to refigure your frame and in order to make that relationship, or bring that relationship to a place of health. And what better frame than to use the frame of your Creator? He showed us, he modeled the frame. He through his Son Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, those of us who are broken and lost, to himself. And what was the first thing that he did? I mean, I like this qualifier that 2 Corinthians says. It says that he was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And this is like the fuel, the driving and operative thing that had to happen in order for reconciliation to take place. It says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And the NIV says it this way. It says, not counting men's sins against them. Not counting. So in order to truly reconcile over conflict and to reconcile or to negotiate obstacles, the first thing that you've got to be committed to do in a relationship, if you truly value that relationship, if you value that relationship over proving that you're right or proving that you have a right to be angry or standing your ground or proving your whatever, if you really value that relationship, the first thing you got to do is make the decision that you're not going to hold that against the person. Because that's what God did with us. I mean, think about it. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the first thing that God did when he reconciled the world to him was he forgave us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he found a way, love found a way to bring us into right relationship with him again. We were not in right relationship with God. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he didn't come to judge the world. We had already been judged. We had already been found guilty. He didn't come to condemn the world, the Bible says in John 3. Jesus came not to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. We had already been judged and found guilty. But he came to save the world. So the first thing that you got to do, if you want to save your relationship, if you want to bring your relationship into a place of health and right standing, you've got to absolutely make up your mind, make a decision that you're not going to hold whatever that offense was. And it's not about who's right or who's wrong, but that you felt offended. You've got to make up your mind right then and there. I am not going to hold that against you. I really like the way the NIV said it. You know, he says, God is not holding men's sins against them. So when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're reconciled to God, the Bible says that he is not holding your sins against you. That's wonderful, because it's your sin, your lack of a Savior that was keeping you from a relationship with God, which ultimately was condemning you to a godless eternity, and that's hell. But now that you have a Savior, you have a mediator, a go-between. God used that to reconcile you to himself. God in Jesus reconciling you to himself. So you don't have to be lost. You don't have to feel overwhelmed because of the life and the that you've led, or the choices that you've made that have led you away from God. There is a way back to God, and not only is there a way back to God, but he won't hold what you've done or the choices that you've made against you. And so that is our frame. That is our model. So in our relationships, whether it's with your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter or your brother or your sister or your coworker, your boss even, and I know how some bosses can be. I've been a boss and I've had bosses, so I know that sometimes that can be a very strained relationship. But you have to make it up in your mind. It's not whether that person deserves it. It's not whether they deserve that you don't hold it against them. That's not the point. The point is that now that you are informed, your actions are going to be informed by what's important to you. If being healthy and that relationship being healthy and strong and vibrant and fruitful and productive, if that's what's important to you, then your approach, actions to bring that relationship into a place of health is going to be informed by this model that Jesus has shown us. He's not the first. The first and most important thing is that you've got to make up in your mind You've got to say no matter what. And oftentimes the enemy will bring back to you, well, you remember when they did this, or you know they did that, or you know, well, you know what, I don't know. I don't know if you can trust them. That the point is that you're not relying on them or your decision or your choice to be a reconciler, and your choice at using the frame that and the model that Jesus showed us is not contingent on them. You're making a decision. You are empowering yourself. You are leading the change. You are the change agent. You are taking charge of your life and not being a victim and not being a pawn and not allowing other people's choices and decisions to determine how you are going to navigate the conflict. I'm going to do this the way Jesus did it. That's my frame. That's my lens. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to hold that against you. That hurt me, that disappointed me, that frustrated me, but I want to get past it, and I value our relationship so much that my decision and my choice and my behavior is going to be informed by the model that Jesus showed me, and that is that I am not going to hold it against you. I love you that much. And that's what God, that's real simple. God loved us so much that he's not holding our sins against us. His actions, God's actions toward us, is informed by his love. So when you reconcile, remember, we're reconciling. We're not investigating. So don't be trying to find out who did this or who did that. We're not trying to ferret out more facts. No, what we're trying to do is to get past this and bring the relationship into a place of health. So we're not reconciling, we're not ferreting out facts, we're not trying to see who has the most culpability, who's most responsible, because ultimately, through God's eyes, both of our positions are ugly, because they are tainted by our humanity. Listen, if you want healthy relationships, get the frame, the godly frame. Get the model that Jesus showed us. Be a reconciler. God bless you.